WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Wes Moss here with you every Sunday morning, 9 to 11. Another beautiful, one of my favorite quotes this weekend, seeing on some sort of social media. I don't even remember which one it was because there's so many of them now. Instagram and Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn, they're all over the place. But there was some sort of quote that was speaking, I believe, to Mother Nature. And it was from High Country Outfitters here in Midtown, one of my favorite local stores, mountain shops, if you will. And it said something to the effect, Mother Nature, just so you know, you cannot fit all four seasons into 1 week. And that's what we're all thinking. It's summer again or spring, and it'll be winter again in another couple days. But anyway, as for today, the weather, mix of sun and clouds this morning, give way to cloudy skies this afternoon, high of 71. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 52. Monday, afternoon showers, a high of 68, low of 53. That weather, of course, brought to you by Shoemate. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I guess I love the weather. As a child, I always wanted to do weather. And now, even though I do a money show here on WSB, at least I get to talk about the weather for 30 seconds an hour. And it's kind of it's one of the most fun 30 seconds of the day for me. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. There's so much to talk about. The major theme today, I've done a lot of work, as you know, if you've listened to Money Matters, about demographics. Demographics globally and in the United States, if there's any one thing you can go back to and hang your hat on as an investor, at least from my perspective, you've got to understand the tidal current of demographics. It's this weight of demographics that is effectively the gravity in the universe of investing. If you do not have the proper demographics to support an economy to move it forward, then you really can't have a growing, prosperous economy, and you can't have companies that grow earnings. And if you don't have companies that grow earnings, you can't have a stock market that goes up. And we're seeing that all over the world, where we'll see countries like the United States that has moderate growth, we'll get into that, that continues to grow, supported by, guess what? Demographics. You look at certain countries in Europe and they are literally shrinking because of the way the population is structured. And accordingly, you see these stock markets suffer. Japan, as we all know, is this very old population, and it's effectively shrinking, and it affects consumerism, and it affects the economy, and it affects their, and what has manifested is a very difficult stock market for decades. So demographics on a big macro level, big picture global level, it really means almost everything. If you had to go back to one single factor that drives business forward in the world. So I want to talk about that again and review some of the major overarching demographic statistics that we really need to understand as investors. Two, if you dive down a little bit deeper and look at the micro perspective, and I don't know if it's really just micro, but we're talking about just the United States now and just this millennial population, which, by the way, it's not that micro. It's about 75 million people if you look at adults 18 to 34. But they're making a marked impact on society and housing prices. And I've been writing about this in the last couple of weeks, and it's fascinating to me, the statistics that go into what millennials are doing right now in America, and it's driving housing prices, and it will drive the price of your home over the next half a decade, maybe full decade, and it's fairly decent news for the United States. So that's what we have to worry about today, and I want to get in to the impact and what's happening with demographics, big picture, and then right here in the United States. So think of that as our theme today. Of course, we'll continue to take your calls and questions. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you're listening coast to coast, Texas, California, Seattle, Chicago, Michigan, we are here to answer your calls and questions. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We did a Facebook Live this week, as I do every Wednesday afternoon, right at noon, we've been doing now for the last, I've done this only begrudgingly. And Mallory at our office has finally convinced me. And over the last couple of years, I was slow to adopt social media. I just didn't necessarily want to. And of course, it's foolish not to, especially if you're in the media. And another new thing they came out with about 6 months ago is this Facebook Live. And I begrudgingly started to do it, but it's growing and people really actually watch and we get live questions in the comments section. So Facebook Live is a lot of fun too. So it's effectively a live version of Money Matters. I usually have a co-host with me and I'll answer live questions. So same thing here on the radio. If you have questions that relate back to maybe you're 58 and you've got a pension lump sum question, which one do you take, the big bag of money or the trickle or the stream of income instead, which one's a better deal for you and your family? Maybe you're 48 or you're 58 and you've got some sort of change in family situation where now you're the trustee and now you're in charge of money. Maybe it involves your kids and there's some investment question about their education. Hey, Wes, I have a question. I'm 60 and I've got too much cash on the sideline melting away and I haven't been able to get back to this market. And maybe it has to do, maybe you're on the verge of retiring. Maybe you're 30 and you're listening. You're thinking real estate. Wes, should I go buy a house? And how much money should I put down? Or you're thinking about an early retirement and it's in the next couple of years and you're wondering, what do your taxes look like? So all of these things dovetail into all these cross currents help us determine when we're able to stop working or hit financial freedom and hit the retirement button. And that's what I'm here on a Sunday morning to help you walk through. We're going close to getting into our ninth year of Money Matters here on WSB. And that the best part of our show really has to do with helping you, whether you're driving to church or going to play golf or going to brunch with the family or just sitting in your kitchen reading the Atlanta Journal-Constitution drinking coffee, we're here to help you through some of those questions that pop into your brain. And I know that once you start hearing questions from other listeners, you think, oh, wait, I have a question kind of like that too. I'm wondering that too. If you have a question that's swimming around in your head, I would be willing to wager there are 1,000 other people listening that have a similar question. So that's why it's so valuable to discuss what's on your mind here on Money Matters and for us to try to answer your questions as objectively as humanly possible. And we try to be the most objective money show on the air in the United States, and we'll continue to strive for that. So the number here, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. This is the other thought to me that is, and I get mad about it when I read it and I get all flustered about it. And then I realize that that's just part of what we do and I'm fine with it. So I get emotional about these things and then I realize that that's just the way it is. And this is the way journalism is. And I'm reading Barron's this weekend, which I love. One of my favorite weeklies that I get. I still prefer the actual physical copy of Barron's relative to the iPad or the iPhone, even though they do a wonderful job on that. I still love to have the physical copy of the AJC or of Barron's. It's so much easier to consume, in my opinion, still. But this is very telling, what I'm about to share with you, of why it's so difficult to be an investor, why we just to be involved in markets. And this is one of the most widely read parts of Barron's. It talks about kind of what happens in the world and where we stand this week. And by the way, for the week, the Dow was down less than 0.5%. The S&P was virtually flat, call it down 0.1%. And on the year, we're actually still up on the S&P this very short year. We've only had nine trading days, by the way. Year to date, the Dow's up 0.5%. The S&P's up actually 1.5%. So we've actually seen some movement here. But according to Barron's, the new year began with high hopes, with the bulls expecting the rally that began with Donald Trump to continue into 2017. But effectively, it's petered out. And a quote from some genius market strategist, it's taken so much longer than people had hoped. It's so frustrating for both sides. It's frustrating? The market's only been open for 9 days in 2017. 9 days, that's it. And we're already net positive 1.5% on the S&P 500. But they're frustrated that the market's not going anywhere. The market has failed to break in either direction. Well, guys, give it some time. And this is the exact thing. When you read this, you're thinking, wow, yeah, it's so frustrating. No, it's not frustrating. That's just the way the market works. The market was up 12% last year for the S&P 500. That's a remarkable, that's a great year. The Dow was up even more than that. And a lot of other sectors, the majority of different sectors were net positive last year. So diversified investors did great in 2016. So yeah, if we have a pause for a week or two or 6 months, that's totally fine. And that's just the way it's supposed to go. So don't get frustrated with the market stalling out. And it's almost comical for me to even read these things, but that's the nature of how markets are talked about. And it's in a very irrational way to look at and talk about markets. And it reinforces this hurry up and let's do something and make mistakes as investors because we're impatient. And that's the wrong thing to do. So ignore a lot of these ridiculous commentaries about the market that's stuck in the mud. Because we have to focus on much longer term trends. And that's why we're going to talk about demographics today here in the United States and around the world and how it impacts you. We are here in the studio. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Phone lines open 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. More Money Matters, your calls and questions straight ahead. We've got a lot of ground to cover here today on WSB Radio. Mike from Atlanta, are you still with us? Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Mike, you still with me, ma'am?
Yes.
What's going on? How can we help? What's your question?
I've got a company-managed 401k that I have to do something with here soon. Is there some sort of vehicle that I could invest it in that does have a guaranteed rate of return, but little or no risk?
Wow, little. So you're looking for safety.
Yes.
And I guess it would, Mike, here's the gray part of the world we all live in when it comes to investing. It depends on your definition of safety. If your definition is that the principal itself never dips below the flat line, then the answer is no. There's no way to do that unless you're only in CDs or some sort of fixed annuity type product or some sort of annuity product that doesn't really have a lot of upside. If you're okay with floating principal, but income that's steady, 3-4% a year, even though the value might be up and down 5, 10, and 15%, then the answer is yes. Here's a stat that's just in from the chief investment officer over at the CIA, Robert Sanders. Since 1980, the average correlation for the S&P, or actually this is not about correlation, this is about market corrections. The average correction, this is since 1980, peak to trough, think about this, is 14.2%. So the average year has a 14% drop. Only twice, all the way back to 1980, has the market not been down at some point in the year. 2012 and 13, those are the only 2 years. 2016, year to date, that's 2016 was one of those years, or year to date as well. So despite all those pullbacks, though, we have averaged a 13% annual gain since 1980, Mike. So
is there any kind of an indexed annuity that would actually?
Yes. So index annuities promote the fact that they will never be down, and that is, as long as the annuity company never has any trouble and the company itself doesn't go out of business, Mike, then index annuities are try to be in that camp. Now, there's a lot of caveats to that. You've got to stay in a certain amount of time, and there's not a lot of upside in those, but at least you can stay flat to slightly up as long as they stay in business. More on this, and stay tuned for more Money Matters right here on WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio, live in the studio today. Shoemate weather update brought to you by Shoemate. A mix of sun and clouds this morning will give way to cloudy skies this afternoon. High 71. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 52. Monday afternoon showers with a high of 68, low of 53. I wanted to continue on and just recap the last question that we got. I get a lot of questions about equity index annuities or index annuities. Because they are they're a confusing product for folks, and I get this question a form of this question often, which is, hey, is there something safe I can invest in that still does well or goes up? And it's kind of like saying, hey, Wes, I have a really high risk tolerance for making money, but I don't have any risk tolerance for losing money. Inherently, that's like a lot of folks. And if you don't have a risk tolerance for your principal to go up and down at least a little bit, then it makes it really difficult to be an investor. And then you have to look at other things that are like CDs or even government bonds that don't really move a lot. And an annuity or an index annuity is really not in the same conversation of a diversified invested portfolio, because they're not investments. And I don't say that just to say, oh, I don't think they're a good thing to invest in. I'm saying they literally are not investments. They're insurance products. They're not categorized or regulated like the investment industry, because they are actually insurance policies. So they act like CDs. What's very misleading about them is that they are, quote, they have some sort of tie to the market, which in real life they don't have a tie. They have a fictitious tie that says, hey, whatever the market does, we'll give you a certain percentage of that. That could be tied to the number of, I used to make the analogy, the number of cars that go through the toll road on 400. Well, however many cars go through the toll in any given year will give you 0.01% of that number. So it could be anything, but they do tie it back to the S&P 500. And that's what, even though they don't, you put money into one of these index annuities, they don't actually put a portion of it in the S&P 500. They just watch what that index does and some sort of formula based on what that number is. So it's misleading as though it is an investment product, but it's really an insurance policy. So So the conversation about, is it safe to invest in one of these, or if you're not comfortable with markets or a portfolio that goes up and down a little bit or fluctuating at all, then you need to look at, in my opinion, either a CD or short-term bond ladder, not a mix between a CD and insurance policy that's cobbled together with an overlay that gives you the false hope that it's going to do as well or some portion of the stock market. That's why I'm not a big fan of those products, because they're very misleading and they're sold in a very misleading way. And they are not investments. What they are is they're insurance policies that, you, in my opinion, you're better off just looking at really short-term high-quality bonds or, for that matter, just CDs. So going back to this idea of fluctuation, you go all the way back to 1980. And you see that the average year for the stock market, the average correction in all of those years is a full 14%, 14.2 to be exact. There's only been two times in that whole entire almost 40-year period that the market, there's only twice that the market hasn't been down at least at some point. That was 2012 and 2013. So far, with very young 2017, same thing, but we're only 9 days in. So in almost every single market year, you're going to be down net negative at some point. And that is despite the fact that the market's averaged 13% since 1980. So yeah, it's been a wonderful place to invest in, but it's been not without serious scares along the way. And that's what makes investing so difficult. Now, in the backdrop of all of that, what drives all of this in markets over time, it goes back to what we talked about at the very beginning of Money Matters Today, and that's the demographics that we live in. One of my more recent quotes from Warren Buffett that I love is his thought that for 240 years, it's been a terrible mistake to bet against America. And hey, guess what? Today's not a good time to start. And this is something in one of his more recent investor annual newsletters. And he talked about, if you go back during the 20th century, the Dow Jones Industrial Average went from 66, yes, the number 66, to almost 11,500 during the 20th century, right? Up to the year 2000. Now you go 17 years later, 2017, we've tacked on another 8,000 points beyond that, as we are hovering close to 20,000 on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So all of that optimism that Buffett has, and this is something that I've grown up with, thinking the same way, that my optimism as well for the next 10 and 20 years is grounded by one very important overriding thesis. And that thesis, ever so simply put, is that the economic pie gets bigger and will continue to do so due to population growth, or the growth of how many people are consuming in the world. Now, fortunately, the U.S. and the global population are continuing to grow. Here are some of the statistics about that. There are about 131 million, and this is around the world in any given year, new births. So we have 131 million births per year on Earth. That's approximately 360,000 babies born every single day in the world. The same study also shows, and this is the Ecology Global Network, same study also says, and the sad side of the statistics, there are 55 million people die every year, which is approximately 151,000 people pass away or deaths every single day. Put these numbers into context. You've got about 7 stadiums full of people that are born every single day. About 3 stadiums full of people that die every single day. So think about that math. And as we go back beyond, and we're talking about life and death here, so it's certainly beyond math, but from an investment perspective, we've got to understand this. And the reality here is that if that continues every single day, you have 4 stadiums. We're adding 4 stadiums of people to the world every single day on a net-net basis. Assuming a stadium holds 50,000 people, that's a tremendous number. And that explains why we've seen the global population go from, if you go back to the year 1900, they're about 1.6 billion people. Today, they're approximately 7 billion people on the Earth. By the way, the year 2030, they're expected to be over 8 billion people on the Earth. So the economic pie continues to get bigger and bigger. Now, that's not the case for every country, because every country has its own demographics. And of course, every country has its own stock market, not every country, but most countries, if they're developed, even some developing. So it doesn't mean that every single stock market is going to be good. So we get back to, well, where are the countries that have that population growth that is so desired to be an investor? And I go back to, well, the United States happens to be, and I think very fortunately, we're one of those countries. And I go back to, and that's this optimism and this backbone or foundation that Warren Buffett relies upon, that the economic pie continues to get bigger, and does right here in our own backyard. And that's a very, very powerful thing to understand. Now, what does this look like in the United States? Well, I go back to trying to understand not only the stock market, but what about housing? Housing is such a gigantic driver of gross domestic product. The actual percentage when it comes to, if you just isolate the percentage that is just new homes being built, it doesn't seem as large. But if you start to think about all the things that a new home or moving into a new home impacts, our consumption of furniture, whether we start to have kids and family formation, housing is at the foundation of the economic growth here in the United States. So I go back to and start thinking about, well, what does that look like here in the United States? And this is one of the most shocking things to me. If you really look at demographics close to home, now think about this. For the first time in recorded census data, adults, and this is a new phenomenon in the last couple of years, and doesn't get enough press. For the first time in recorded census data, adults living with their parents is the number one living arrangement in the United States. For the first time in census data, Living at home with mom and dad is the most prominent living arrangement in the United States. And I'm looking at this giant segment of the population. I'm looking at ages 18 to 34. These are technically millennials. So living in parents' home is 32%. Whereas married or cohabitating in their own house, 31%. And by the way, if you missed this, I wrote about this in an article. If you go to wesmoss.com in the money section, you'll see an article about housing and millennials and how they impact home prices. So if you missed this, you can always go to wesmoss.com and look at that article under the money tab. So we've got 32% of this giant population segment living at home. And that's a big part of the population. It's 75 million Americans, which means that 25 million of that group, they're living at home with mom and dad. And these statistics go a long way in helping us understand what housing prices are doing and where they're going to head in the United States. And you can figure out all this data and figure out and sift through mountains of data and figure out where the prices are headed. Or you can just ask parents to go knock on the door of the millennials living in their basement or their spare room or the garage and ask them, when are they going to move out? Because that has to do it. That then dovetails into household formation. The more households we create, so when do people actually start moving out? The more upward pressure we get on housing prices. So as soon as that group, junior, starts to get out of the basement and get into a relationship, let's say, the better it is for housing. And here's the good news in all of this. Contrary to the perception of the millennial generation, there's evidence that they don't want to live at home. They don't want to stay living with mom and dad. It might seem cool for the first year or two, but you've got this giant percentage of the population that's still there. And that's going to continue to change. So we've got this steady expansion of home building that we've seen since the recession. But if you look at home vacancies, the number of available houses, it continues to shrink. And we know mortgage rates have actually gone up a little bit, but they're still very, very low historically. So we're getting to the point where we've got what looks like to me, this tremendous pent-up demand. I'm going to talk about why this is the case, and then again, what it might mean for housing prices. So we're going to go to quick news, weather, traffic. Then back here for more Money Matters. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, if you have calls, questions about housing, rent, buying, selling a house, paying off a mortgage, we're here live in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. More Money Matters right here in WSB, straight ahead.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. So we're talking housing demographics, and we looked at the millennial generation, 18 to 34-year-olds, 32% living with mom and dad, 31% married and cohabitating. So you compare this to the 1960s, only 20% of adults live with their parents, and a whopping 62% were married and cohabitating. Again, today, 31% living together, cohabitating. Back in the 60s, 62%. So just a giant demographic shift. A lot of that has to do with getting married later. Yes, part of this has to do with the Great Recession, and it's been difficult to find jobs since the recession. But it's also that we're getting married later and later and later. You go back to 1950, the average age for males is 23 and females 20. So 21 was the average age to get married in 1950. Today, the average age, 28 for men, 26 for women, so it's 27 total. That's a full 6-year delay in when we're getting married. So it's delaying household formation tremendously. We're going to go to the phones here. Lauren joins us from Douglas. So Lauren, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help?
Good morning. My question is do you see another blip in the market in the next 6 to 12 months? My husband and I own a condo, which we've owned for 10 years. It's rented out. We've got multi-year renters in there. We're looking to purchase a home, but we don't want to have PMI. So we're saving as much as we possibly can, but want to make sure we buy at the right time.
When you're saying blip in the market, are you talking about the real estate market? Not the stock market.
Yeah, the real estate.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's county to county, obviously. I want to say there's 16 metro Atlanta counties that are counted in the Case-Shiller price index when it comes to Atlanta, Lauren. But if you look at Cobb and Fulton and Forsyth, where inventory is still pretty low, then I don't really see a big blip or correction that is significant enough to worry about. If you go way outside of that and you get some of these larger counties and north of north, then it's a lot. There's more inventory, then you can see houses sit, and that could obviously lead to correction in housing prices. So it depends on where you are, but if you're looking, the closer you are into Metro Atlanta and those surrounding counties that are close by, I really do not, because I don't see a recession in the United States, at least for another year, because the numbers right now economically are too strong to see that. Not that it can't happen in another year from now. It's hard to forecast that far out, but at least the next year, I see a lot of, I see housing prices solid. Stay tuned. More Money Matters and your calls and questions straight ahead.